This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Jeff Phelps, no Baskin today. Menigan in for Baskin. Meredith taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. We've been doing this this little thing on a pretty regular basis for the last month and a half.
About that, yeah.
And it's find us a quarterback. And why are we doing this? Because the Browns need a quarterback. We have mainly stuck to guys who could either be drafted or signed as free agents. What you don't have... too many of guys you might trade for. That changes today, ladies and gentlemen.
Words that are about to come out of Baskin and Phelps are merely here to inform you, not to influence you in any way, shape, or form, nor reflect the opinions of both Jeff and or Andy on who will play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. These segments may cause nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, and or any other misfortunes.
If you're allergic to quarterbacks, don't listen to the segment.
If this conversation lasts more than 6 minutes, go see a doctor.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
Oh, Dan got cute with the editing from the other day.
Well, I thought this segment needed a disclaimer, and boy, now we finally have
it. Well, now we have one. That works, actually. Because why? Because we make somebody mad every time we do this segment. Every time. Somebody reaches out at CLE Talking Heads, or
that
somebody
guy's
calls.
A bum.
Why would you? Phelps is a moron. Why does he want that guy?
That guy's a bum. I can throw better than him. My mom has a stronger arm than he does.
I don't necessarily want that guy. I'm just trying to inform. So there you go. Today, what would you think of trading for a guy that one team thought was such a draft bust, they traded him away for a seventh-round pick? What would you think of that, Dano?
Well, you really know how to sell these bad boys.
I sure do, don't
I? Here comes that nausea, heartburn, indigestion.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Mr. Malik Willis.
Oh.
Malik Willis was a third-round draft choice by the Tennessee Titans in 2022. And it was a really bad quarterback year. He was the third quarterback drafted. The first two were Kenny Pickett and Desmond Ridder. The best quarterback out of the 2022 draft was the last guy taken, and that was Brock Purdy. So that quarterback draft stunk. In 2 years in Tennessee with the Titans, when he wasn't the starting quarterback, Tennessee just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And we kept hearing, oh, this guy's going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy. He started 11 or he played in 11 games. He had three starts, and he had a record of 1-2. Now, why was Tennessee interested in him in the first place? Because he was really interesting in college. 2 years at Auburn where he didn't play. And they said, you're not going to play here. And he didn't. He threw 14 passes in two seasons. Was the backup to who? Jarrett Stidham, I believe. And then he went to Liberty University. And when he was at Liberty University, he ran for almost 1,000 yards in two straight seasons. And he rushed for 27 touchdowns. And he had 47 passing touchdowns and 18 interceptions. So the passing numbers pretty solid. And the rushing numbers were extremely good. And you come out in the draft, and he drops to the third round there, and he's picked by Tennessee. Now, this is where this gets interesting to me. Two parts of this on Malik Willis, who we're talking about today. Let's find us a quarterback. He was traded to Green Bay. Tennessee gave up on him for a seventh-round pick at the end of training camp last year. In late August, he got traded to Green Bay because Green Bay needed a backup quarterback. Then he quickly ended up becoming a starting quarterback there because Jordan Love had some issues. So he started a couple of games, was pretty good. He played in seven games overall. He completed 74% of his passes in Green Bay. Limited. He only threw 54 of them, but by golly, he completed 40 of them.
Just going to say.
For three touchdowns and an interception, and he rushed for 138 yards and two touchdowns, and they won his starts.
So here's what I will say about Malik Willis.
He's under contract for one more year, so you would have to trade for him. Then he's a free agent.
If you have found yourself on a Saturday going, you know, I really enjoy watching Service Academy football. I like the triple option. I really like the idea that I could honestly drink for every forward pass thrown and still be able to drive home without being pulled over or feel anything whatsoever.
Why does most everything with you go back to drinking?
Because I go to an Army-Navy party every year, and we used to do that.
Okay.
It was always the running gag.
See, there had to be a real reason. Yeah.
It was always the Army-Navy game. You took a sip of whatever you were drinking every time there was a forward pass, and it was the only drinking game where everyone drove home. And so Matt LaFleur did a really good job with Malik Willis, and I give him a bunch of credit for what he was able to do. But he did a really good job going, okay, we are going to run the ball with Malik Willis. We are going to run him like he is a Service Academy quarterback. We are going to give him easy reads and easy throws. And by that I mean, like, for those of you who understand, one read. We're going to cut the field in half. We're going to have two wide receivers, and you're either going to throw the deep route, you're going to throw the intermediate route, and if those two aren't there, you're running with it, or you're throwing it away. And that's how they were able to survive. They were turning around and handing the ball to Josh Jacobs 30 times a game, running it a boatload, hitting Jalen Reed for all kinds of end-arounds, Christian Watson for end-arounds, all of that kind of stuff, with the idea that it's like we have to take what this guy is and not try to make him something he isn't, which is drop back, throw the ball on time and on target, you know, and do that 45 times and have him really evaluate what a defense is doing and read what's on the field and all of that kind of stuff. We need to simplify this, and we need to use the fact that he is an athletic marvel and just have that be our offense.
Because he is. He's extremely athletic. Throws it, has a good, strong arm. There are two interesting things, and I wasn't even going to include Malik Willis in this little shtick we've been doing, but two things made me do it. I saw two stories yesterday. One, and it was written by a gentleman named Pulaski, Ryan Pulaski, from FanSided's Still Curtain, okay? And it was about the Steelers making a play for Malik Willis. And he wrote that the Steelers showed a lot of pre-draft interest in most of the quarterbacks in that bad draft we just talked about. Well, they ended up taking the first one, Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Malik Willis was coming on strong, going up draft boards like crazy. Steelers ended up taking Kenny Pickett. However, Mike Tomlin wants mobility and a strong arm at quarterback. They did a lot of due diligence on Malik Willis, liked him, but took Kenny Pickett instead because Kenny shared the same training facility and they thought they knew Kenny and all that stuff. But they did countless of hours of prep on Malik Willis. And this guy is reasoning that the Steelers could have an interest in him for that reason. Also saw a story that said, and again, FanSided did it, that with the Jets not bringing back Aaron Rodgers, Malik Willis could be the guy because they've already traded with the Jets, even though it was a different front office. But so maybe Packers and Jets were going to trade there. So I thought, you know what? Let's throw that in. Maybe the Browns would be interested in doing that. One other thing when I dug into this made me think about Malik Willis, something interesting. Okay. And I mentioned this part of this. I always like going back just for curiosity's sake. And most of the time and seeing what guys' draft profiles look like.
Oh, absolutely.
When they came out. And this one's a few years old, obviously. It came out in 2022, so it's been a while. But I like to hear what scouts said about him at the time. His draft grade, Malik Willis's draft grade in 2022, was higher than any guy currently, their draft grade coming out in this draft. Higher than Cam Ward, higher than Shedeur Sanders, higher than Jackson Dart. Malik Willis's draft grade was 6.41. Cam Ward's is, I believe, 6.39, and Shedeur's is right in that neighborhood. But Malik Willis was as highly thought of as the guys who were at the top of this draft who could go 1-2, could go 2, could go 3-6. In other words, if he were in this draft, he might be in the conversation to be the number one overall pick in the draft. The Tennessee Titans could take him again. I know. And then this. You ready?
Of course.
You want to cringe one more time?
Yeah, why not?
Lance Zierlein is the guy who wrote the summation of him. Arm like Jay Cutler. Body style and play style like Jalen Hurts. Jay Cutler could sling it.
Jay Cutler had an absolute rocket for an arm.
He had three quarters of a clue where it might be going.
And he was
Malik Willis might have half a clue.
I'll never forget Charles Woodson. The best part about playing Jay Cutler is Jay's always going to be Jay, and there's going to be three balls out there for me to catch at some point.
So, Browns fans, does the idea of a trade intrigue you at all? I will tell you, I've just laid this all out. More highly rated than Shedeur Sanders. Higher draft profile grade than Cam Ward. And Jackson Dart. And Will Howard. And Quinn Ewers. All those guys. Higher than all of them. I don't think he fits here in Cleveland.
I don't think so either, because as much as I think we all kind of would enjoy for a few weeks running the triple option and just running an offense where Stefanski cuts the field in half and does all the things that you need to do to make Malik Willis successful, I think we would all enjoy that if it was winning. It's one of those things where the minute it gets figured out and goes south, it goes south in a hurry.
If you're looking for a guy like Malik Willis, could you find him in this draft? Is he named Cam Ward? Is he named Shedeur Sanders? Is he named Jalen Milroe?
Boy, you should aim for higher.
There isn't anybody higher in this draft.
Look, according to Lance Zierlein.
According to the guys, and it's NFL.com. I don't think Lance who does the grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Lance writes up the little summation.
Yeah. But not in the first round. If you were to find somebody who was like Malik Willis in the second round, third round, something like that, I would feel a lot better about it than trying to take him at 2. Or even trading back and then taking a quarterback there.
Does the idea of a trade do anything for you, folks? For Malik Willis, who last year in Green Bay looked like the quarterback everybody thought he might be when he was drafted by Tennessee and then went to Tennessee and didn't look anything like he looked like in Green Bay. If you're the Browns, would you make the move? Would you trade for him? Or would you look at 2? What do you think? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. It's the one option we haven't looked at a whole lot. Could the Browns possibly trade for a quarterback? Today's Let's Find Us a Quarterback just did it. Malik Willis, now with the Green Bay Packers, under contract for one more year. Reason we even threw him in? A couple of stories out there about the Steelers maybe trading for Malik Willis. About the Jets maybe trading for Malik Willis. He was a third-round draft choice. Green Bay got him for a 7th. What do you think it would cost to get him? What
Not
do you think
much.
Green Bay would take? A 4th?
I think so.
3rd?
I mean, you
would a
you
5th offered, get it done? I don't think a 5th would get it done.
You offered me a 4th to begin with and then went a 3rd. So yeah, I'm going to take the 3rd and then probably tell you to go kick rocks on the 4th and 5th.
But what do you think it would take?
Not much. I don't think Green Bay's that invested in Malik Willis. I mean, they've paid Jordan Love a boatload of cash. I can promise you they're going to draft a quarterback because that's what they do.
They do.
So I think they'll draft a quarterback, and they love trading their backup quarterbacks. They did it with Mark Brunell. They did it with Matt Hasselbeck. They did it with Matt Flynn was a free agent. But you get the general gist of where
they develop quarterbacks in Green Bay who go elsewhere and play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Now, they haven't done it in a minute. Scott Tolzien didn't turn out how they wanted him to. He's a really good coach, though.
So there's that. What do you think, folks? Would you think about him? I don't think he's what the Browns would probably want here. because if they're going to draft a young guy, I don't think they'd bring in, I don't think they would trade for another young guy. I do think that if they draft a young guy, they could sign another young guy as a free agent, but I don't think they would trade a draft choice for a young guy.
And I don't know if there's more in the tank with Malik Willis than the simplicity that they had him playing under. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what some team just might pay to find out. That's interesting. Jackson is in North Ridgeville. Jackson.
All right, Jackson.
How's it going?
Good.
Good, good. I just wanted to say, when you look at Malik Willis and stuff, you know, he's still young, but if you look around the league, I think, like, players like Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud have kind of raised the standards for rookie quarterbacks. And when you look for a rookie quarterback now, it's not like, oh, let's sit him for a couple of years, let him get, you know, develop, and then we'll start him. I think it's more like, let's draft him now and let's start winning football games right away. And I think that's what the Browns need to try to do. And whether that's taking a risk in the draft, I'd rather do that and have a chance at being good for a long time with the young player than rather than have Malik Willis, who can maybe give us a couple years and then kind of go back to the same spot we're in right now.
Jackson, that's very sensible. I'm inclined to agree with you. I don't think this guy's the right fit here, but I do think that somebody might make a trade for him. The only way that he's the right fit here is if, again, and this is if the Browns decide they do not like anybody in this draft and they can get this guy on the cheap and think that we can make this guy our starting quarterback. And that does not sound like a feasible plan to me.
I can see the path where you talk yourself into it, though, because maybe not the way that Jackson laid out by saying, hey, you know, these top tier quarterbacks, they come in and they play and all that kind of stuff. But more the idea of like maybe Malik Willis is the next Geno Smith. Maybe Malik Willis is the next Baker. Maybe Malik Willis is the next, you know, you know what I'm talking about, those veteran guys.
The guy who gets kicked down the road a couple of times and then figures it out.
And there's some level of talent that's there.
Sam Darnold.
But he needs to kind of have those moments and maybe be in that right situation with that right coach who's going to work with him and speak the same language.
Yep.
And maybe get him to understand it in a way that causes him to take the step forward. And so maybe Malik Willis is one of those guys, and maybe his time in Green Bay helps them out in that regard. I mean, they can develop a quarterback.
Gio's in Cleveland. Hi, Gio.
All right, Gio.
Hey guys. Big fan of what you do.
Thank you, man. That's really kind.
I guess, you know, here's my thought on this. And one, I would rather kick the tires on somebody like a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance, who I believe both had higher draft grades than Malik, and take a chance on that. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, when Kevin Stefanski was the OC in Minnesota, who was his quarterback?
Kirk Cousins.
Who was more like Kirk? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Case
Keenum.
Thank you.
When he was quarterback coach, it was Case Keenum.
Thank you, Jeff.
Case Keenum. So would we not both agree that all of these quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders, maybe not so much Sanders, but Cam Ward, Justin Fields, Malik, Trey Lance, all of these guys do not fit what Kevin does. I got to go to the Stump Mitchell interview where he pointed out how Kevin was trying to fit a round peg in, or a square peg into a round hole when it came to Deshaun, when he should have just ran his offense. And the only time Kevin's offense reflected anything like Minnesota was with one guy in particular, which I know we don't want to bring back, which makes zero sense to me, is Joe Flacco. To me, Joe Flacco is the same quarterback as Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum. And then somewhat, when Baker Mayfield was making it work. I don't understand why we keep and have this fascination, especially here in Cleveland, with like these athletic quarterbacks, when at the end of the day, the guys that are winning, even Patrick Mahomes, even look at the last Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts, like they all have to read a defense and understand how coverages work. And that when you get to the NFL, everyone is somebody's All-American. That 6'5", 300-pound defensive tackle is running a 4.4 40. Like, all these athletic quarterbacks never translate. Malik never translated to the NFL, but he had this awesome draft grade. He was supposed to be, same with Will Levis, same with Trey Lance, same with Justin Fields. All these guys that in college, potentially, that made plays with their feet, get to the NFL and understand, oh, my God, I've got to get to the line and read a defense. I've got to understand an audible. I just don't understand. To me, that is Kevin Stefanski's defense to a T. Play action, get to the line, smart quarterback, read the defense, call off the play, audible out of it, and call the coverages. I don't understand why we keep trying to fit these square pegs into round holes. Like, let's get this athletic guy because our offensive line stinks and he can make some plays. That just doesn't exist. Unless you're Lamar Jackson or, you know, even Josh Allen to a degree. But
although, Gio, kind of the way the league's going, though, right?
I do agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that. But I mean,
if you're Kevin, maybe you have to adapt a little bit more.
Well, look what Andy Reid did, though, right? Andy Reid had a guy by the name of Donovan McNabb. Would we not agree that Malik, Justin, Trey Lance, they're all more like Donovan McNabb, right? But then he got to Kansas City, and he had the
Donovan
same exact
could throw,
player.
Though. Donovan could throw.
That's what I'm saying. His offense fit, I guess what I'm saying, I'm sorry, Jeff, was his offense was more suited to Donovan McNabb than, would you say, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is just a freak. He's just a freak, but he also can read defenses. He also can read out of plays. I just, you know, Peyton Manning once famously said about a running quarterback, you know, to win a big game in this league, you're going to need two reads that make the difference in the game. That's two out of 50 throws that you have to step to the line, make a read, and make a big play. Not with your legs. Now, granted, that happens, but I
agree with him, by the way. I think that's sharp.
Yeah, he's so I love what him and Tom Brady have to say about a lot of these young athletic quarterbacks. They're like, the only reason we were any good is because we didn't have a choice to be athletic. We had to read defenses.
Right?
Well, we both agree that both Peyton and Tom Brady were not Lamar and Josh Allen. But still, I mean, listen, I think, in my opinion, this is just one guy's opinion. I think, please don't laugh at me. I think we draft a young guy either with a 33rd pick or in the third round, like a Jackson Dart, a Will Howard, somebody that's
Jalen Milroe.
Jalen Milroe. I'm just saying somebody that is your prototypical 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", quarterback that can read a defense that's been in big play situations, and we sign a guy that I know everybody's going to laugh, named Joe Flacco for 2 years. We give him 1 year with an option.
Gio,
you said that.
I don't know that Flacco has anything left.
All right.
And I say that because he was not what he was for the Browns for the Colts. Is that fair to say, Dano?
Yeah. He
had a few moments for Indy.
Had a couple moments that were there, but it was not the same thing.
It was not the same guy.
It was, it very much felt like lightning in a bottle. This is the last thing. All right, so Patrick Mahomes, because everyone loves to throw this out and everyone loves to talk about it. People forget, one, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. The second thing that people forget about Patrick Mahomes is that when he came into the league and was that original Chiefs offense was bombs away. It really was. It was Tyreek Hill, go as deep as you can. You can't run fast enough to overthrow this guy's arm.
Yeah.
It was.
You had that weapon, though.
It was Travis Kelce. It was all of these things that came with it. And what happened is as time went on, Patrick Mahomes learned how to read a defense and learned how to take what a defense gave him and check down and do all of these different things. There has been an evolution with Patrick Mahomes that a lot of people have forgotten about, to where now he has become, not as much in that same vein, but has become a quarterback that is similar to what we've seen of Tom Brady. It's similar to what we've seen out of Peyton Manning, and less
with
of the
more
guy
with more mobility.
With more mobility, yeah. Yes, but less of the guy who is just, you know, drop back
just
and bombs
it.
Away. Let's go. You can't run fast enough. Mecole Hardman, keep running. You're not going to outrun my arm. Like that guy now has evolved into the guy in front of you. And the whole point of that diatribe is just to say there's an evolution that takes place with quarterbacks, and these guys have to get better and add something to their game every single year. It's not just grab guy, drop guy in, and hope guy does best. That's my fear when it comes to this draft and going at number two and going grab guy, drop guy in, guy does best, and all of a sudden everything is solved and fixed. I just don't see it that way, and I don't see that as the best way to nurture a quarterback. Do you think that same way, or am I nuts?
No, I don't think you're nuts. I think you're.
I mean, I am nuts, but not in this regard.
Not in this regard. I would agree with that. John is in Willoughby. Hello, John.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I'm agreeing with you totally. We watch the Super Bowl. We watch how the Eagles were put together as a team. It starts with the trenches, the defensive fronts, the players you draft around the quarterback. Jalen Hurts, if I remember correctly, third, fourth round pick. You have to develop a team that then you can place a quarterback into that can have success. I heard some callers today talk about, let's draft a guy early and put him in this thing, start trying to win games now. Heck, with the way Miles' whole agenda is going, we might have to chip him out of here, load up on picks, and build this team so maybe next year or a late-round pick this year, a Will Howard, can come and blossom into a team that is ready to win. I just don't think that this whole win now with a rookie quarterback is possible. The second point I kind of wanted to parlay into, we were talking about running quarterbacks and their effectiveness, and this all kind of started, I'm thinking back to 2012 RG3, when he started popping off runs with Washington. That only happened because they had a really strong run game and a play-action passing game to counter that, and then his big runs were sprinkled into the algorithm of that offense. But it took, you know, you can't be a focused running quarterback team. It just doesn't work in the NFL.
You're right. Clinton Portis was a beast, and a lot of people have forgotten that. Clinton Portis was really good.
Both in Alfred Washington Morris and Denver.
You're right. Alfred Morris as well.
So I'm just thinking about this from a top down. You know, Jalen Hurts obviously is an effective runner, but they got there with the run game through the running back. They didn't lean on him to be a runner. So to me, it's like when you're looking for a quarterback, intangibles, a guy you can count on, a guy who will be there for a decade and do the right things. And when it comes to athletic ability, we've seen now it's not the X factor. It really isn't. So I'm curious what you guys think about, you know, Malik Willis. Super athlete,
Willis.
Malik Willis, correct. Super athlete, but he just, you know, can he have the mental processing power to get through and play well in the AFC North? That's a hard one to sell me.
John, thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. And that's, you know, that's why he wasn't in Tennessee anymore. They decided this isn't working.
Decided that a guy that put mayonnaise in his coffee is a better option.
But Green Bay did better things. That's not a nice thing to say about Will Levis.
That's a truthful statement.
I know. Green Bay did better things with Malik Willis than Tennessee did. It's interesting.
He made money because of his ability to put mayonnaise in coffee.
Would you trade for a guy and take a chance? I don't think I would. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It's interesting when sometimes we throw out our let's find us a quarterback and it inspires folks to call because it just either rubs somebody the wrong way or it inspires them to think one thing or another. And we've been inspiring people today after discussing not advocating for by any stretch. In fact, I think no. Malik Willis, who is now a member of the Green Bay Packers after two completely failed years in Tennessee with the Tennessee Titans. Before we get back to it, how has Myles Garrett's trade request and this quarterback class, which we're kind of discussing, changed the Browns' draft plans? Well, our buddies Daryl Ryder, Andy Baskin, who's not here today, discuss the latest on the direction of the organization in their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Subscribe to the podcast now, 92.3thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. They're sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
Click, click, click.
Neither Dan nor I think Malik Willis would be a guy who conveniently fits into what the Browns might do. We threw him out today because some rumblings out there that the Steelers might have some interest in trading for Malik Willis, who the Packers had to give up all of a seventh-round draft choice for. And perhaps the Jets might have an interest in Malik Willis. Good luck to either one of them.
Yeah. It is a style of football, and maybe it was just because this is what Matt LaFleur watched in Green Bay and said, this is the best way we can maximize this guy is to play this specific style. But it very much was, if you go back and watch Malik Willis, it very much was, okay, we're going to run the ball with Josh Jacobs a whole bunch. We are going to run quarterback-designed runs as well.
Mm-hmm.
If he is going to throw, we are going to have those be bootleg-defined throws where he knows exactly where to go with the ball, and he will play on time. We are not going to have him take three-step drops and five-step drops and read the field and try to decipher what a defense is doing and go from there. It very much felt like point-and-shoot quarterback play where we kept things as simple as humanly possible. And that's the best way that I would describe Malik Willis. It borderline reminded me of watching Service Academy football, which can work in a pinch if you need it to. I just don't know if that style is something that you can go, yes, I will take this with me to the playoffs and success will follow my team and we will play this way and win 10 to 12 games and everything will be grand. I just don't know if that you could do that in the NFL.
Kingston is in Cleveland Heights. Hello, Kingston.
All right, Kingston.
Hey, it's Kingpin, but
oh,
that's okay.
King Sorry, Pin. Kingston, how are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Kingpin.
Thank you, gentlemen. Hey, I agree with you on Malik Willis. There's a reason why he got tossed around. He's not the answer for here. And I think also, if you say Malik Willis, you're also saying the word that nobody wants to talk about, which is rebuilding. And I think that's the problem that the Browns fans have, and that's the problem that Myles Garrett has, is that he doesn't want to go through a rebuild. Well, if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you kind of need that with the cap situation that the Browns are in to get a rookie quarterback on a cheap contract that they can grow and develop. But you're also talking rebuild. If you ask me, and don't get me wrong, I would not spend any amount of time in a lighted room in a dark cave with Aaron Rodgers. But this guy knows how to play. He finished strong with the Jets. Things didn't work out there, but the Jets really don't have a strong infrastructure to make things work. He'd be coming in with a contract that you could get him at a veteran minimum, which helps the money situation that the Browns are in. And here's the biggest thing. You can now go back to Myles and say, this is the plan. We're not rebuilding. This is the plan.
I hate to cut you off. Do you think that the Browns have an internal strength of leadership and all of that to bring in the level of, for lack of better terminology, distraction that Aaron Rodgers seems to bring with him?
Challenges.
That that's another way to put it.
He might bring
Let me take
him.
This out. If the Browns can deal with Deshaun, they can deal with anything. They've got the sticker.
I mean, that is the off-the-field version of all those different things. The thing with Aaron Rodgers that people forget, though, is it's not like you're going to take Aaron Rodgers and drop him into Kevin Stefanski's system. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, you are bringing in the Aaron Rodgers old-school West Coast offense. That dog is not learning new tricks. That's what the Jets got themselves into, where they ended up having to hire Nathaniel Hackett, and they had to bring in Randall Cobb, and they had to bring in Alan Lazard, and
all
they ended up trading
friends,
for
Davante Adams.
They were talking to David Bakhtiari for a hot minute to bring him in until his knee fell apart. Like, that's
yeah,
the
I know.
Thing.
We're talking about all the reasons why not, but do you think the guy can win?
I don't think he showed that last year.
I don't know
year.
If he can anymore.
Yeah, Kingpin, that's the thing. And here's the other thing. If you're Kevin Stefanski and you know you have to get it done this year, if you don't think Aaron Rodgers still has it, or if you think he's going to battle you on things in your first year offensive coordinator, why would you do that?
You know, isn't it something else against Stefanski, though? Stefanski has to be the type of coach that can mold his style to the personnel, not the other way around. For so far, even though people say, we got to keep this guy, we got to keep this guy, it seems that if he doesn't have all the chips lined up just right, he can't seem to make adjustments. I appreciate the call. I'll listen to you off the air.
Of course, dude. Absolutely. And I appreciate the conversation, and I appreciate you making me think. But, like, the difference between what you're laying out there when it comes to Stefanski and his offense and all that, because, and again, this is just one man's opinion, and what Aaron Rodgers will bring to the table is the fact that, while, yes, I am with you, we talk about all the time, we want Kevin Stefanski to have his guy develop his guy, and we make it seem like he has an inability to be flexible. Aaron Rodgers played in a system similar when he was with Matt LaFleur. And in that last year, he openly rebelled against the offense. Like
to the point where it seemed as if he was trying to get LaFleur fired.
You watch him. He is.
They finally come to a big group hug, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But it took him leaving to get to that big group hug. He was openly rebelling. When LaFleur came in and started bringing in some of those Shanahan Kubiak concepts to work into the run game, Rodgers hated it because he didn't want to turn his back to the defense. If it was up to Aaron Rodgers, he would be out of the shotgun every single time, and he would do nothing but stand there and bark out orders, and everybody would have to work off of that. And that's not as much to be a slam on Kevin Stefanski as it is like, this is Aaron Rodgers. This is what Aaron Rodgers does. This is why he is a first ballot Hall of Famer and arguably one of the, gosh, we'll be generous, five best quarterbacks that has ever walked this planet. Like, he's unbelievable mentally. His body isn't where it once was. And I don't know if you can bring a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers in and tell everybody around him, hey, remember everything you've learned? Scrap that. We're going to run the old school West Coast system. You need to pick all of this stuff up. You need to learn every last bit of it. And by the way, here comes a bunch of wide receivers who can't play at the level that Aaron Rodgers wants them to. Oh, and Jerry Jeudy, by the way, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to trust you, so you're not going to get the ball. Like, that's the stuff that Aaron Rodgers does that people forget. He didn't trust Garrett Wilson.
In a year where the Browns have to, I don't necessarily think win 12 games, win 10 games, but obviously make some strides and show, okay, we have this on the right path. I don't think that guy's the right fit here. And I don't think, years gone by, if he was still the player that he was, different story. And because he would win games despite things. If he has all of the baggage that comes with him without the ability that he used to have, that's a bad combination.
It's the scales of justice. Yep. You know, at some point, we hit that level where the talent no longer was worth dealing with everything else.
Right, especially when the Packers had Jordan Love sitting there ready to go. Sean's in Cleveland. Sean.
How are you, Sean?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, guys?
We're doing well, man.
Okay, I was listening to the Morning Boys and Daryl Ryder, and he was saying that the Browns are not a quarterback away. They're not a player away. Same, and Myles Garrett feels like, you know, the team is not going to get better. It's going downhill. But here's my disagreement. Stefanski, they just went to the playoffs 2 years ago.
In other words, there's still kind of a playoff team there?
Yeah. But I feel like it's the coaching staff. After you go to the playoffs, you win 11 games, you let go of Alex Van Pelt. Now, I know Callahan went with his son, the running backs coach, and I don't believe that Stefanski had anything to do with that. I don't believe Stefanski said, hey, we're going to let go of Alex Van Pelt and bring in Ken Dorsey or whatever.
None of us are going to know until the tell-all book is written, man, but I think you're right.
Right. And it's just, if they could go to the playoffs with a quartet of quarterbacks and Joe Flacco, a serviceable quarterback, and you let Stefanski cook, we are one or two players away. It's not like the Browns are just a depleted team with no talent. Stefanski just proved to you 2 years ago, hey, I can get four serviceable quarterbacks and make it to the playoffs. You get them a serviceable quarterback, maybe one or two other pieces, and you let Stefanski cook. Andrew Berry, don't touch the draft. Don't even get on the plane to the draft. I would rather see Stefanski. Just don't even get on the plane, Andrew Berry. Well, I'll
disagree with you on that one. If anything, if you really want to solve it,
that's funny.
You hand that man two tickets and you send him to like Puerto Vallarta or to like Spain or Portugal or somewhere really nice and sunny and go, you take care of that. We got you. Don't worry.
And I'm going to let you guys go and I'm going to listen. The whole point is I believe that Stefanski showed you 2 years ago he can get it done. The Browns are one or two players away. You can get a serviceable quarterback, and the Browns can be good. You let go. I believe Alex Van Pelt was paramount in that offense that year, and then you let him go. So, I mean, let Stefanski cook. Let him make his draft picks and see what the guy would do. And as far as Myles Garrett, Miles, we are one or two players away. If we get the right quarterback, serviceable quarterback, and the Browns let Stefanski cook, I believe they'll be okay.
All right, Sean. Thank you very much. That was funny. Here's the thing. I'll play both sides of this.
Love it.
I don't think the Browns are like two players away.
I do not either.
I think what they are away is this: good health on the offensive line first and foremost, a serviceable quarterback. And Sean, I think you're right about that. I mean, and we've talked about numerous guys in Let's Find Us Quarterback who I think could come in and be that serviceable quarterback while you're developing some young guy. That's the path I'd take. You still need another wide receiver. You need two running backs. Maybe one of them's like Chubb, maybe one of them's not. But you can find two running backs who can come in. You can find another wide receiver. You might have to pay him. And then I think you tinker a little bit with the defense and add some guys. They have 9 draft choices. Problem is, Andrew Berry hasn't hit a lot of the draft choices that he's made here. So the fact that they have 9 draft choices doesn't fill me with confidence. I'll be real honest about that.
And rookies are bad.
And rookies are bad, except at one spot. Well, I shouldn't. Let me take that back. There's one spot where they're usually not bad. Running backs.
Oh, that's valid.
Rookie running backs usually come in and do the job.
That's valid.
Fresh legs. Hey, there's the whole go.
It's
more instinctful than most positions on the football field.
Good call.
And so they could end up drafting one running back. Mary Kay Cabot told us on Monday, 2 running backs, and come in and get it done. I honestly think they can fix the running back situation from the 3rd round on. And if they go higher than that, then they definitely have it fixed because they'll draft somebody they think can really play. And there are free agent running backs out there. You can sign some and bring them in. But I think they're more than 2 guys away. That still said, Sean, I agree with you. It's the NFL. It's the one league where from year to year, you can fix things in a hurry. And I think they have a chance to get that done. Brian Anderson is our buddy who is the Tampa Bay Rays color analyst. He's also the former Guardians pitcher, Indians pitcher, other teams. I wonder what he thinks about a certain team saying, hey, grow that beard. I can't wait to talk to BA about that. He's coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.